Good morning, loved ones. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews, chapter number 12, where I used to minister for 20 years in Elko, Nevada. It was known as the cowboy poetry mecca of the world. There is a particular genre of poetry called cowboy poetry, and those of you who teach English here, I'm very sorry about that. I may be scarring the minds of your students here, but in cowboy poetry out west, you have to know that the state bird of Utah is a seagull, which hang around the Great Salt Lake there, and it is illegal in Utah to shoot and to kill a seagull. And though there are some people who evidently would poach a seagull and kill a seagull, which is illegal. And someone wrote a poem about it, about a fella that was pulled into court, and the poem goes something like this. Now, the judge, he wasn't happy when they brought the cowboy in. The charge was seagull poaching. It was time for discipline. It was time to teach that feller that we must coexist. Or the seagull may end up on the endangered species list. And so the judge demanded, "Jake, tell the reason why the environment got trampled and that seagull had to die." Jake said, "Well, I was out upon the prairie. I sees this bird up in the tree, and I hadn't et for days. It was either him or me." But the old judge felt compassion. The cowboy seemed sincere, said he'd join the Save a Seagull Club and be a volunteer. And so the judge dismissed the case. To pursue it seemed a waste. But upon dismissal, the judge asked, "Jake, by the way, how does a seagull taste?" Jake said, "Oh, it is similar to any other fowl. It's a little like bald eagle, but more like spotted owl." Now, loved ones, it is one thing to be disrespectful in a small charge to an earthly judge, but it is quite another thing entirely to be disrespectful to the judge of the living and the dead and of the entire universe. And that is exactly one of the main themes that's found here in our passage in Hebrews chapter 12. And beginning in verses 25 for the paragraph, verses 25 through 29. Hebrews 12, verse 25. "See then that you do not refuse him that speaketh. For if they in the Old Testament did not escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Quoting Haggai 2:6, verse 27, "And this word, yet once more shaketh, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, and of those things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace," or take hold of grace, "whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Let's bow and ask God's help as we look at His Word this morning. Lord, we greatly rejoice the fact that we have been redeemed. When we consider you shaking things, thank you, Lord, that we are in a privileged position because of that. And Lord, we're also in an incredibly privileged position that melts our hearts, that you not only have redeemed us, that our names are written on your hand and are upon your heart, and you love us even though we as your children go astray in our motives, in our attitudes, in our actions and reactions. Lord, thank you for a mighty redemption. Lord, I pray that now the entrance of your words would give light to me, that I would hear and do what you say, and to us, and that your words would be a light. We ask, God, that you would illumine, that you would flip the light switch on. Lord, we ask that you would deliver us from the humdrum we in Christianity are so used to, showing up at the table, eating, burping, getting up and leaving. Father, I pray that you would help us in our times around your word. And so, Lord, we lift up a weak, emaciated hand, asking God that you would drop something into us, our hands as beggars. Because, Lord, unless you give us something today substantial, we're dead meat for the devil's onslaughts. So we beg and ask that you would work here now in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul Revere is regarded as a hero. He wasn't out to be cute or popular. He was out to sound an alarm as he went riding the horse and shouting out, waking up people, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" Well, Jesus is returning. He's coming back, and he's already beginning to shake up things right now. And we need to have that message on our lips for other folks. And our idea, like Paul Revere's, is not to be cute or popular. Shouldn't be there. Our theme of the year is being acceptable servants. That phrase and those words, really, acceptable servants, are found about four times in Greek in the book of Romans, and it's only found once, super close together, in the book of Hebrews. That's the only times in the New Testament it's found together, depending on the translation. Here in Hebrews 12, there is acceptable service, and so we're looking at that. And now in Hebrews, I have to admit something to you. Warren Wiersbe, with his B series, the Thessalonian epistles, it's be ready with 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, be faithful. I think he should have named commentary on Hebrews, be confused. Because I have to admit to you, there are things in the book of Hebrews that really confuse me, and I have beyond a master's degree in the Bible. There are difficult things that are in here. But if you listen real closely, here is the best that I can give it in a short synopsis of theme of the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews is writing to people who were Jewish in race and Jewish in religion, who became believers in Jesus Christ. They were facing suffering, trials, persecution. And because of that, they were beginning to let some things slip. Some were wanting to abandon even showing up and being around God's people. Others were considering going back to Judaism. Others abandoning during the time of difficulty, God altogether. And the author is saying, don't go back. Persevere with Jesus because he is better than any other option you can think of in the past or present or the future. And in chapter 12, he brings up that theme of persevering grace from God in practice this grace, even through the difficulties, by looking to Jesus. Now, sometimes our difficulties are brought on by ourselves, and God has to discipline us. But persevere, following holiness and peace with other people. Don't get embittered about your difficulties. Stop and consider the contrast. The people in the Old Testament, the awesome position at the foot of Mount Sinai, which shook. And your privileged position in being a part of the heavenly kingdom. And that brings us up to where we are in the paragraph in verses 25 through 29 as we consider acceptable service in an unshakable kingdom. What does acceptable service in an unshakable kingdom look like? Well, he tells us two main points, and they're very simple. The first is found in verses 25 to 27. And it's a command. Receive God's awesome speaking. Look at verse 25 again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Receive God's awesome speaking. Loved ones, God is speaking. He is speaking through his word. He's speaking through providence. Don't refuse him. Listen up. What are some motivations that ought to keep us listening to him? There are two motivations that ought to keep us listening in difficult days where God is getting ready to shake things up. First, God is just. And he judges his people justly. Look at the rest of verse 25. See then that you refuse not him that speaketh. Why? Here's the motivation. If they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth at Mount Sinai, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. God is just. He didn't allow Old Testament believers to escape. He won't allow us to escape either. They refused and turned away. They worshiped a golden calf just as Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments. And God didn't let them escape. Nadab and Abihu, as they offered strange fire, they didn't escape. When they complained about their circumstances, God says, you're really complaining against me. And they didn't escape. And the list goes on and on. So, loved ones, we need to stop and remember. They were responsible then. We are responsible now. God could not be escaped then. And he cannot be escaped now. You can count. God is just. Now, there's a good side of this. As I try to serve God righteously, you can count God is going to be faithful and work it out in the end. God is just, and he judges his people justly. That's a motivation. Listen to God. But there's a second motivation found in verses 26 and 27. Let's read it. Whose voice then shook the earth back at Mount Sinai. And now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things which are shaken. In other words, the things that we see, the elements of this earth. And as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Not only is God just, he judges his people justly. Righteously. That ought to be a motivation to listen to God, but also God is powerful. He shakes his creation. He made the entire universe and everything that's in it. And since he made it, he can shake it. Shake it, make and shake, so to speak, right? He makes it, he can shake it. He did then, he has been, and he will continue to. That God who shook the earth is going to shake all of the elements, the stars, and all of the planets. God is speaking to us today. Young folk, this is an exciting time to be in. He speaks to us through his word and through his providential workings. Can't you see God is shaking things up? Have you watched the news? He's up to something. And it's exciting to be a part of it. He quotes Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, basically saying that sending Jesus was the beginning of this whole thing of shaking everything up. And it will culminate someday when everything is shaken. And as Peter says, the elements will melt with a fervent heat on that literal day of shaking. Young folk, everything around us is crumbling. Praise the Lord! He's not. Now, I kind of like, forgive me. I like music and I'm a George Gershwin fanatic. And one of his last songs that he wrote, there's a phrase in there which he and his brother Ira, in time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. Stop and think of that. God says they will crumble. And God himself will remain and his people who are faithful to him. So can I encourage us? Labor for what is going to last in life. We, as God's people, are going to withstand the shaking and the burning. Let's admit it. The future seems insecure. That's okay. Really, it's okay. Because as long as we're with God who remains, we're going to survive well. Our future is solid. Don't be frightened. Be confident. Can I encourage you? Please don't get in arguments about this. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. When there are Christians who are being tortured and dying for their faith, not about a mask. May God help us to focus on what is really important in life. So in summary application of this first point, since God is just and since God is powerful, let's walk by faith, not by sight. The things that we see are temporary. The things which are unseen are eternal. God expects us to listen when He speaks. And it takes effort for me to listen to Him. So let me ask you, how do you listen in chapel? When certain people come or speak, how do you listen in chapel? I have to tell a bad story on myself. Seems like all my stories are bad about me because all I do is bad. I remember when the Bible college that I attended, I got frustrated. I was a senior. A senior, you would expect something out of me. I was in the ministerial class and regarded as a highly regarded officer on campus. And after chapel, I was just frustrated again. And I happened to walk by one of my favorite professors who I regarded, Dr. Michael Barrett. And I thought, I'm going to ask him. And so I just asked him. I said, Dr. Barrett, how do you put up with some speakers that we have in chapel? Are there just some days that you just think, well, I'm not going to receive a blessing today when you see who's walking up to the podium? And he turned to me with kindness and he said, Aaron, shame on you. It is God who speaks. It is not man. And any time that God's word is opened and God speaks, I should get a blessing. And if I'm not getting a blessing when God speaks, the problem is not with the speaker, and the problem's not with God, the problem's with me. So loved ones, are you listening in chapel? This God who shook things, who is shaking things, and will ultimately culminate in a literal shaking of all of the elements, are you listening to Him? Do you listen to Him daily, in your daily devotions? Now, I'm not talking about having drive-by devotions or our daily crumb. Now, there are certain times when you're on the run. I understand about having devotions on the run, but that shouldn't be a regular part of our lives. Do you have meaningful, profitable times in God's Word where God speaks to you? If you don't, you're going to be like these folks in which you're ready to let things slip. Do you pay attention to God's speakings? Do you listen to His corrections and warnings? I wonder if maybe there's someone here who has rejected God's gospel of grace and that message. I was a sophomore in a Bible college before I got assurance of my salvation. My wife was a senior in a Bible college. Her parents were missionaries in Africa. She was raised in Africa on the mission field before she got assurance of salvation. Is it possible to be in a Christian college environment and really struggle with your salvation? Yes, it sure is. In these days that's being shaken up, don't put getting that thing settled off. Take care of it now. Now, loved ones, we need to be hearing. That's the first part, and doing, hearing and doing. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about a solid life. He who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, it's like a person who builds his house on the sand, but he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, there's hearing and doing. So what's the doing here? That's the second point. Not only are we to receive God's awesome speaking, but in verses 28 to 29, we're to render God acceptable service. Render God acceptable service. Look at verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. 3 points here in verses 28 and 29. First, the catalyst for acceptable service. It's God's grace of an unshakable kingdom. We receive it. We don't work for it. We don't do anything to get it. He simply gives it to us. And God's kingdom isn't like cotton candy. Melts right away. It is eternal. We do nothing to receive it. It's a gift from God's grace. But there are characteristics of acceptable service, and that's found in the rest of verse 28. And I want us to spend the rest of our time looking at those five characteristics. The first two are put together in "let us have grace." And I'm putting them together. It's grace and gratitude. The Greek word is charis. Let me explain why I'm putting them together, but also splitting them up as two different words that are there. This phrase occurs six times in the New Testament. Four times it is very explicitly talking about giving thanks and gratitude back. The other two times it is about holding on to grace. And secondly, since this word charis is grace, this phrase, whenever it's translated in Hebrews, is always grace, never gratitude, though. But both of those themes of grace and gratitude are found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4, let's go to the throne of grace where we can get grace. And then in the next chapter, Hebrews 13, about let's offer to God acceptable praise. And good scholars are divided on should we translate it grace or getting gratitude. And fifthly and lastly, very practically, when a person really gets God's grace, really, a very natural response to that should be gratitude. So we're going to combine these five very quickly. Number one, what are the characteristics of acceptable service? Number one, keep having the grace of God. What is God's grace? We're not talking about God's grace that saves, but God's enablement, God's help, God's strength in my weakness. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. God says, my strength is made complete in your weakness. Now, grace is an abundance of strength to handle the situations. I have a Halls here in my pocket, and I can do this even with my eyes shut. I can do it behind my back. I can lift it up and do all kinds of tricks with this Halls. I've got the abundance of strength or grace to handle it. Now, if I walk over here to this piano and try to do the same thing, it's not going to happen. I do not have the abundance of strength to handle that gracefully. In all of our situations in life, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Are you going to God regularly and getting that grace and not letting it go? Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with boldness come to the throne of grace whereby we can have mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, we need grace in every situation. We do, don't we? I think of me in just some of the most basic situations which seem piddly, like dating. My own situation with dating in college, they were passing out business cards when I was in college. You're going on a date with Aaron? Oh, you'll need this. I found out it was a suicide prevention hotline number that they were passing out there. I mean, seriously, this one, all of my dates ended with pepper spray. Not that I was an assaulter, I was just a nuisance in the whole situation. This one girl, I asked out, and it was at the end of October. October 29th was the date, and I thought we had a nice time. Heaven forgive me, I can't remember her name. Anyway, I thought we had a nice time, and she didn't. She sent a thank you note the next night on October 30th, and it was short to the point. And it said at the bottom, I hope you have a great Christmas vacation. Uh-oh, there goes the alarm. I hope you have a great Christmas vacation. A great Christmas, wait, it's October 30th. A great Christmas vacation. I wonder if she's trying to say something to me. So, I couldn't remember her name, and so ever after that, I just referred to her as Mary. Merry Christmas, right? And I'll never forget, well, one time at Bible conference time, which was known as drop ad time, drop one date and pick up a bunch of others, there was this one girl that I was interested in, but this one guy moved in and asked her out at every service. And I wasn't paying attention to very much at Bible conference because I had so much jealousy going on inside, and I was so focused on things that can be seen and that were really piddly. But they were important to me at the time, but I was focused on things that can be seen instead of the things that were unseen. And after the last service, where there's lots of festivities going on, I went up to the prayer room in the dormitory and said, God, I'm not going to get off my knees until you help me pray for your blessing on them with a pure heart, no jealousy, and I need your grace to deal with this. I was there about an hour, and God gave grace. They're married today, and God had someone else for me. Now, you may think, that's really petty, Aaron. That's what I'm saying. In the most petty things, we need God's grace, and we need God's grace in the bigger things as well. Secondly, not only keep on having grace, but keep on having gratitude. If a person has God's grace, there should be thanks that is given back to God. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift of grace. Hebrews 13, verse 15, through Him let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you realize that being ungrateful is a leader into sin? According to Romans 1, it's that way. The people in Romans 1 neither were thankful. I used to have a dog. I remember one time I provided everything for that dog, provided the food for the dog, and I reached down to move its bowl and it growled and barked at me. I provide everything for you. You can't get up and get your own water out of the sink. I didn't have the dog very long. You don't have that kind of attitude. Young folk, do we have an attitude of gratitude? Let me ask you, when was the last time you really thanked your parents for what they do for you? Or maybe you're like me. I didn't have parents. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up with drugs and alcohol all around me. I grew up with many problems. Can you think of some things for which to be thankful? When was the last time you really sincerely thanked your teachers here? They could be out trying to make it rich, but they're not. They're wanting to pour into you. Are you a thankful, grateful individual? We must, thirdly, offer worship service. This isn't the normal word douleo or diakoneo. It's worship service, latruo, like Romans 12:1. An acceptable sacrifice, which is your reasonable, rational worship service, a worship service of a priest. Fourthly, have reverence, it says, with reverence, that is respect. It says in Hebrews 5:7, that's the attitude Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Hebrews 11:7, it's the same attitude Noah had to the message of God. There was respect that was there. Fifthly and lastly, have awe. Godly fear, taking God seriously. It's a word that's used of when you're in the dark of night and in a jungle and there's a black panther in there, you're apprehensive. You're on guard. Beware of this. And there's a cause. What is the cause for acceptable service? In this passage, there are many causes. But the cause here is for our God is a consuming fire. Greek students, it's the gar there. So there's a reason for this. Our God is a consuming fire. People don't like to talk about God's wrath. They like to talk about God's love, God's compassion, God's grace. But he says, here's a reason. The God who was serious and struck people in the Old Testament is still the exact same God today. God's wrath, the Greek word is orge. You're getting the English word orgy from it. Now, I'm not trying to be gross here. You're thinking, orgy? What in the world does that have to do with it? Unbridled passion. God is unbridled in His passion for His glory. And He melts everything away that's unworthy of it. Everyone is passionate about something. Every one of us. May God help us to be passionate about Him. So, may we be receiving His words. And may we be rendering acceptable service for Him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, help us to apply these things into our lives. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.